I speak to you in the name of Jesus, in whom God has reconciled the world. Amen. Although their glory had passed to memory, and their heroism had turned to legend, the old men collected in church to remember a time when they ran like chariots of fire. Against the strains of Charles Perry's hymn, Jerusalem, which we just sang, the aging Olympians offered prayers for some of their company who had died. But for a moment, they were back in Paris, running the rest of the world into the ground. The story is never far from my mind. When I lived in Litchfield, Connecticut many years ago, there was a great road race held every second Sunday in June. For a few years, I ran the race before my knees became arthritic, not to win, I was never going to win, but to enjoy the exhilaration of starting out on the green, running down West Street, past the giant loudspeakers, pulsing the theme of Chariots of Fire, and for a moment, we all thought we could run. My wife and I were recently remembering our winged journeys in the Litchfield Road Race, so I retrieved the film from my library and watched it for the umpteenth time. Two brilliant runners, as different as possible from each other, carry the story on their flying feet. Harold Abrahams, a Jew, alien of aliens in his society, well enough placed to find a home at Cambridge, but never beyond suspicion. Eric Liddell, from the exhilarating austerity of Scotland, too observant in his faith to please the king. But they both could run very fast. Eric, pushed by a power he could feel, Harold, driven by fear that he might fail. They were the fastest, and they puzzled at each other, and they never quite entered each other's world. But in the Olympic Games in Paris, each runner won a gold medal and then ran on to contrasting destinies. Eric Liddell went to China as a Christian missionary and died in prison after the Communist Party took control. Harold Abraham lived a long life, married an operetta star in England, became a grand elder statesman of sport in England. And one day their comrades sang their praises, the way we always do, of the once swift and strong youth whose day is done. This morning we are not attended by chariots of fire, but it is not so bad to remember the Scot and the Jew when we hear about the strangers and aliens in Ephesians. Those young men were both strangers and aliens in the upper-class world of British amateur athletics in the early 20th century. Harold spent money and hired a coach so he could win the race, but that was considered unsporting among the wealthy amateur athletes, and he remained a reluctantly embraced hero. Eric would not race on the Sabbath, even to please the king. And no amount of personal pleading convinced Eric to place king before God. Only because another runner changed places was Eric able to run his gold medal and worship his God. In my judgment, Harold is the more complex person, and his motivation and his success lies somewhere between the ambition of an enculturated alien and his anxiety at not succeeding. His coach, Sam Massimini, had not only to teach Harold technique, but to massage his soul. But Eric is not complicated. He knows his heart, and he speaks his joy. When I run, I feel his pleasure, God's pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. That's his response to those who question his passion for running, to those who believe that he is drawn away from holy things by sport. Eric answers simply, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." It's not just that St. Paul sometimes describes the Christian life with sport metaphors. It's not only the wonderful fit of discipleship and running the race. It's the dazzling clarity of Eric's passion and faith. I've never forgotten that line from the movie. If the real Eric Liddell never spoke those words, he should have. When I run, I feel his pleasure. How about adopting that cry for ourselves as we run this race? Live so that you will feel God's pleasure. We are promised that God has changed us from aliens and strangers into friends and members of the household of faith. We are told that hostility has been broken down and that peace has been brought to those near and those far. We are carried on the Spirit to holy unity and reconciliation. At its end, Chariots of Fire returns to the present, to the men and boys choir, and the cadences of the prayer book and the chorus of Jerusalem. There is, it seems to me, a sad grace in remembering the young athletes grown old, even when life has treated them well. Their glory is truly brief and bright. But we can run our whole lives, and we can feel God's pleasure the entire way. Let our song be an anthem of divine pleasure and joyful running, for that is a canticle that can be sung all the days of our lives. Amen.